Let the Lord lift you high.
The hand of God goes forth.
His feet
and crown.
I need a microphone. I'm pretty loud. But if you have trouble hearing me, bless you, Brother Ford. If you have trouble hearing me, just let me know. Folks, I'm rejoicing in the truth right now. I've sat there in that row and rejoiced in the truth. And that's scriptural. It says we do rejoice in the truth. I got something I want to read. After Brother Jim did that, Brother Lance was in Hebrews 13. Verse 8, we all know Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. That verse has been used and misused a lot of ways. I've seen it used that, I'm not going to even go into that. I don't want to go into the ways it's been misused, but it has been misused. It's been misapplied, as most scriptures have. But I made a note of this sometime along the way, and I don't know when, and don't know where it came from. But I looked at it as he was on that verse, and I'd like to read it to you because I think it lays it out pretty well. Again, the verse says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. What I've got written, the temple is destroyed, the ceremonial law is gone, the Levitical priesthood is no more. But Jesus Christ, the head of the church, the mediator between God and his people, abides unchanged.
Amen.
Now, whoever wrote that, it's not scripture, but it's according to scripture. And whoever wrote that, I'm glad I wrote it down. I think it explains it well. He was writing to Hebrews, remember? And that had been their life. And he said, that which is old and ready to wax away. The law was never given to be a permanent thing. It was temporary. The ceremonial law, the feasts that they celebrated year by year, those were temporary things. And every single bit of it pointed to the one that would come.
Amen.
And now that he had come, those things were old and waxing old and fading away. Mm-hmm. All right, Brother Jim, I leaned over and told Brother Gary, you got on my text, brother. But that's okay. That is quite all right. Now, one of them anyway. I'll try to be brief. I want to touch on something I mentioned last Sunday. A verse out of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17. Because there's one word in that verse that's just kind of been stuck in my mind all week since last Saturday. And I'm going to read it to you again. Then I'm going to go over to the verse that he read out of chapter 2, verse 19. Of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 4:16 I'll read. I read this to you last Saturday. This was the Apostle Paul when he had gone to Rome. As the Lord told him, you're going to testify of me at Rome. And there were many obstacles that took place in between. Yet he said, as thou hast testified of me at Jerusalem, thou shalt also bear witness of me at Rome. Paul made it to Rome, and he had to stand to give an answer for the charges. He'd appealed to Caesar, and he had to stand and give an answer to Caesar. And I'll read it to you again. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge, notwithstanding. That's the word I want to look at, two words. I want to look at the word notwithstanding, and I want to look at the word nevertheless. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Notwithstanding, despite all, is what that means, still yet, however, no matter, or come what may, I could probably go on. Those are all synonyms that mean the same thing. It means despite all efforts, despite all opposition, despite the fact not one of his brethren would stand with him, the Lord stood with him. So no matter, come what may, made no difference if the Lord stood with him. Now, let's go over to verse 19. Brother Jim read a few minutes ago. I just want to dwell on that briefly. Paul's dealing there with false prophets. There were some that had gone, they'd even taught that the resurrection had already taken place. I don't know if you've ever encountered, but I've encountered a few people in my life that more or less teach the same thing. They deny that there will be a bodily resurrection from the dead. And in that, I will say they do greatly err. Amen. Because we're promised that we'll receive a body like unto his glorious body. Amen. And that then this vile body will be put away. But we're going to receive a body. It'll be changed. There's been quite a debate about changed or exchanged through the years. I'm confident that every child of God that departs this life before the Lord comes again in that morning of the resurrection are going to be awakened in his likeness and be satisfied. But they were teaching this, and they had given Paul an awful lot of trouble. These were false teachers, in my view. He said, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, there's that word again. Nevertheless, notwithstanding, mean very similar or maybe the exact same thing. I'm not a linguist to tell you. But the word, and again, nevertheless, means despite all, in spite of all, no matter what, come what may, the foundation of God standeth sure. Brother Jim got in the 9th chapter of Romans and made this point as well. About Jacob and Esau, when they were not yet born, when they were being carried in the womb of Rebekah, their mother. And he quoted it to you. Brother, can I quote it again? You don't own it and I don't. It belongs to all the people of God. And it's God's word. But he said again, I'll quote to you if I can what he's already told you. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that called. And we're told, notice that little phrase, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. I tell you folks, it stood. It stood from eternity when God chose a people in Christ. It stood through all the ages of time. The Spirit of God has never missed a one. Not a single one who was given from the Father to the Son to redeem and save and keep forevermore. The Spirit of God, perfect, God manifest. We have God. I'm not going to get into God, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost other than to say these three are one and are of one mind and operate in perfect unity. But the Spirit of God through all the ages of time, the purpose of God according to election has stood, and at the appointed time, every single one of them has been born of the Spirit. Amen. And every single one, however many millions, I don't even know, maybe a number. It'd be foolish to assign a number. A great multitude going clear back from the creation forward. Before the flood and after the flood. Multitudes of the Lord's people, and every one of them up to this very hour, every single one of them that has departed from this life, the purpose of God according to election has stood, and they're now in the presence of the Lord. Now, let me give you just a few more verses on that point. Nevertheless, or come what may. And I thought about this. I thought, what's the point you try to make? I don't want to get up here and cover stuff and then sit down and think, well, what was the actual point that you were trying to make? The point I'm trying to make, it seems like it's the point I'm always trying to make, or most of the time. And that point is that God has all power. I mentioned Revelation last night, forgot to say two-thirds of what I wanted to say. But one thing I wanted to tell you in the book of Revelation, 8 times there our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is called and calls Himself the Almighty. That's the point I'm trying to make. That no matter what happens, as simple as this sounds, it's profound, folks. No matter what happens, though Paul was opposed by false teachers, though Jeremiah was thrown into a dungeon, though Isaiah had to go around and do things that if God called us to do what He called Isaiah to do, I would imagine it would be quite a great stress and a burden on us. Yet He went, and He did. Despite all opposition from without, and despite all opposition from within. And to me, that's the harder of the two, has been my experience. Despite all opposition, notwithstanding all, we sang a hymn right here last night. Awake my soul to joyful lays and sing thy great Redeemer's praise. He justly claims a song from thee, his loving kindness. Oh, how free. And then it has a line I love. He saw me ruined in the fall, yet loved me notwithstanding all. My point again, no matter that we were sinners, in spite of the fact that we were sinners, God had a love that He set upon His people. And He said, love them even the Lord in the 17th chapter of John as He prayed, love them even as thou hast loved me. I can't comprehend that, Brother Jim. I can't comprehend the depth or the greatness of the love of God. That He loves all His people in the same manner that He loves His only begotten Son. That's too high for me to comprehend. I do believe someday, though, these things that seem almost too high to obtain, like I mentioned last night, like we sang this morning, the third verse of that hymn, how great thou art, when I think that God His Son not sparing sent Him to die, I scarce, or I can just barely take that in. That's me, folks, and I suspect it's you as well. But the word notwithstanding, let's just break that down. I'll try to be brief. To withstand means to oppose. You withstand somebody, or if you're withstanding something, it means you're against that and you're opposing that. And the word notwithstanding means nobody's able to withstand or oppose or be against. Or though they may be, I tell you, the scripture says if God be for us, who can be against us? And I always add to that when I read or quote that verse, there are many, many, many things against the children of God here in this life. Again, my old nature's my biggest battle, but we have Satan is against us. There's false teachers today, as there always have been. There's nothing new under the sun. Just about anything man could ever come up with as a false idea or a false religion, if something seems new, I doubt that it really is. It's probably just a new version of something that's been around before.
That's right.
But notwithstanding any of that.
Exactly.
Nevertheless, the Lord knows them that are His. He doesn't only know them. He loves them with an everlasting love. He didn't only love them with an everlasting love, but He's drawn them, or He will in their lifetime draw them with bonds of love and kindness. Let me get just a couple more. I think I'm going to go to Psalm 73 and then Psalm 89. I hope I've got the right places. Psalm 73, that's one of my favorites. And I'm not going to get into the whole thing because it's a whole different subject. I preached on it here one time. I remember Psalm 73 is a psalm of Asaph. And he was greatly perplexed, said, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And I preached on that. I had tried to several times. Then he went into the house of God. And he said, and then I saw therein. And then, about verse 21, he really, really feels condemned. He feels the guilt then of questioning the Lord.
Yeah.
And think, why, Lord, are things the way they are? And then as he began to see things, he reached rock bottom. And he said, thus was my heart grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant, I was as a beast before thee. I felt like that before the Lord, folks. Just being honest, I felt the very same way. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. And afterward, receive me to glory. Isn't that a good promise, Brother Gary, for the children of God? We need a lot of counsel in this life. And if we go looking for it from the world for the counsel that we need, we're probably going to get bad advice most of the time. But he said, I will guide thee. He's going to guide us with his counsel. Where do we find that, folks? Do we not find the counsel of God right here in this word? The entrance of thy word giveth light.
Yes.
The scripture says, guide me with thy counsel, afterward, receive me to glory. And I want to make this point so that I don't forget it. That verse Brother Jim read, same verse I read, 2 Timothy, where it says, nevertheless the foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knoweth them that are his. You note there's no period there. It says, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And the point I want to make on that, this doctrine that you've heard today, this doctrine of salvation by the free grace of God, and I'll tell you, I hope to die with this on my, if I have a record, I hope to lay down and die in this thought just like you, brother. Apart from that, there's no hope for any sinner. It's all of grace. It's all of God. It's all the work of Christ. Or there is nothing else that we have. We would have no hope. But that stands sure. And it says, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. A lot of people think when they find out what we believe, the most common response, well, if I believe that, I'd just do any old thing I wanted to. You might as well just live it up. Live life to the fullest. Just take in everything that you think you ought to do. This doctrine I want to make plain to you. If you don't hear another word, please hear this. This doctrine that we preach, this doctrine that we believe, and I'll say in my case, this doctrine that I once hated and now I love. This doctrine is according to godliness. This is not to encourage the Lord's people to think, well, the salvation of God is free and eternal, so I'm just going to see how much I can get by with. Psalm 89, and I'll close with this. I mentioned last night that God promised King David that he was going to raise up Christ to sit on his throne. That's sort of what's being dealt with in this 89th Psalm. And I won't take the time to go through the whole thing. But he's talking about King David. He's talking about King David's descendants. And then he talks about Christ. Verse 29. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. If his children forsake my law, and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. So there you go, brother. You get the idea. Well, and I've never heard a primitive Baptist preacher ever say such a thing, and I've never heard one primitive Baptist that I've met in my life ever in any way even hinted such a thing. That this is a doctrine that's licentious in nature. That this is a doctrine, you ought to get these people. Then you can just live it up and do anything you want. Folks, that's a lie, and I've never heard a primitive Baptist ever push that lie. But that is an accusation that we face from time to time. But he says, if his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, there's that wonderful word again. Despite all, come what may, no matter what, nevertheless my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My faithfulness has failed at times. Brother Gary, I'm ashamed to tell you, but I'll have to admit, at times my faithfulness has failed. But he said he's not going to suffer. He will not permit, he will not allow his faithfulness to fail.
Amen.
My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Once I have sworn by my holiness, that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon, and as a faithful witness in heaven. See, that throne he's talking about there is the throne that Christ, as the son of David, and as the king over the house of David forever, is now seated at the right hand of the Father. And this will be my last thought, I promise. How many times? You go, but I promise it is. If I can even remember to say it the way that I want to say it. I just want you to bear that in mind, folks. And I appreciate what's been said. Brother Lance said it. I think I said it last night. I mean it. He means it, and I mean it again today. Strange thing that you can love people you never met. Strange thing you can love people that you just maybe met 5 minutes ago. That is the inner working of the Spirit of God within the hearts of His children. That's a strong, strong evidence. If you're looking for some evidence today, let me give you 2 points. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And Paul said no man can confess that Jesus Christ is Lord but by the Spirit of God. And then, whatever I was going to tell you, folks, and I'm going to tell you, old elder, when I first started going to the church, he'd be preaching, and he'd be preaching hard, and he'd be preaching loud, and he'd suddenly stop me and say, well, the light went out. I've got to sit down. I don't know if the light went out. I know I have said a lot and enough, I hope. Nevertheless, notwithstanding all, God's love, God's faithfulness cannot ever fail. Pray one for another. Pray for all these little churches as they try to struggle on and keep going. As I already told you, brother, you mentioned your favorite verse, Brother Lance. I have one that I don't ever hardly, I've kept it for years, Philippians 1:6.
Yeah. Yeah.
But another one. Oh, I just can't help it. It doesn't get old. It doesn't get tired. It's so strong and it's so powerful and it's so encouraging. I've already mentioned it once and I've got to mention it again. Paul says, what shall we then say to these things? And those things he was talking about was what he had just discussed, whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, he also glorified. Then Paul said, what shall we then say to these things if God be for us, and he is, if God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, for every child of God, millions, billions, I don't know, for a number no man can number, but God knows the exact number. Spared not his only son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Whatever we need, he has it, folks. Pray one for another. Pray for us. Pray for our little churches over on the other side of the big mountains. We need one another. We're not to walk in this life. No man's an island. That's not the scripture. It does say in this is scripture, no man liveth unto himself and no man dieth unto himself. That's a better way to put it. We need one another. The Lord, in his perfect knowledge, he knew exactly what he was doing when he established his church here upon the earth. Not to populate heaven, oh, but to feed the lambs and the sheep of God and to maintain a witness that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, laid down his life, conquered sin, then rose on the third day and conquered death, ascended back into heaven, sat down, crowned in glory and honor. And then I'll repeat what I told you last night. The last red letter words in the Bible. Right, the next to last verse, I believe, in the 22nd chapter of Revelation. The last recorded words of the Lord in the scripture. He said, even so, I come quickly. May the Lord bless you.
Amen. Number 34.